Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Thursday, January 23rd, 2014. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for tuning in to Smart Talk Elections 2014. Know your candidates. This host was Sherry Smart and Neil Rice, and tonight we're going to have a candidate, Dick Page, and we'll get to them in just a couple of minutes. But before I hand over the show, first off, I apologize for those of you who were joining us last week when we were having some technical difficulties. We've got everything cleared up tonight, so that's not going to happen again. But then, as I promise to do on every show, as I try to give a few of my own rants before we get going on to the other matters of the day. Locally right here in Orlando, Florida, once again we have an out-of-control government that's going to use eminent domain to tear down a private church. Yeah, right here. And you know what it's for? It's for a soccer stadium for Major League Soccer.
Once again,
they refuse to let us vote for. They refuse to put it on the ballot. And this is, you've got a Democrat and a Republican. You've got Mayor Buddy Dyer, who's as crooked as they come, and then Rhino to the max, Teresa Jacobs on the county side, all pushing for this eminent domain to tear down a church in Paramore. There's a group of us that are going to be fighting it. So if you're in the Orlando or Florida, too, because the Florida taxpayer is going to pay for this kind of stadium as well. And the other thing
is, Kelly, one question. Have you gotten in touch with the Private Property Rights Coalition, Dan Peterson?
Not yet, but I will make a note of that.
He's right there in Orlando, and that's right up his alley.
Okay. I will do that. I'll make sure the group that I'm working with.
I'll give his contact number after the show.
Great. Perfect. Because it's just outrageous using eminent domain like this. This is not what eminent domain was for, and it just shows how tyrannical this government has become. And the people here didn't want this crazy state, and South Florida didn't want a Major League Soccer team. Do you really? Orlando can't handle the Magic. They can't even fill the stadium for the NBA, and they think soccer is going to be popular here. Just a waste of money and abuse of power. You know,
yeah.
I think that both sides of it just annoy the daylights out of me from that tyrannical side to just think, well, if they won't let us buy it from them, we're going to take it away. This is their attitude. We're going to do what we want.
It's their attitude
and
everywhere.
And then the other thing. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is.
And you guys talk a lot about this, so this ties into everything we talked about with the land grab going on and the out-of-control government. And then the other thing, this thing about beards and head garments for our military, we're bending the rules for the military, for the Muslims, but they stole the Bibles. You know, you're not allowed to have a Bible. You're not allowed to have Christianity in the military, but now they're going to bend the rules for the Muslims. There's something seriously, seriously wrong here. And, I mean, those were just two big rants I had to get out tonight.
No, and I'm glad you did, because those need to be addressed. And I think a lot of people are not even aware that this is going
something
on.
Something seriously wrong for 5 years now.
That's right. That's
and
exactly
that's because
right.
we have well, a Muslim president.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
indeed.
This is Sherry Smart with Smart Talk and Neil Rice, co-host. And tonight's guest is Dick Page. He's running for Sarasota County School Board. Welcome to the show, Dick. We really enjoyed the last time you were on, and we wanted to go ahead and pick up and start talking more about Common Core.
Okay. I became a candidate for a school board when I started attending meetings and hear about something that was called Common Core. Common Core involves school content and so much more than that. As I began studying, I said, no, somebody must put an end to this. The present school board feels there's nothing they can do because they're dictated to by the state.
Right.
I am running based upon local control of government and of education.
I like that.
Thank you. And I think a lot of people in Sarasota County will like the idea of local control of our government, that we don't want the people in Tallahassee telling us how to run our county or our school, for that matter. And that's the issue, is that our current school board in Sarasota does not say anything. They feel if that's what the state school board is telling them, then that's what they've got to do. da-da-da-da. And that pertains to this thing called Common Core, which everybody, nobody remembers when it was approved by whom. It just suddenly, it was there. Definitely stealth, no votes, it just was there. And it seemed like it was there across the country. What is it? Well, it's everything and it's everywhere. And it's...
Well, the other thing, the other piece of Common Core that no one really seems to address, Dick, is the cost.
Exactly.
Who's going to pick up the cost?
Talking about a test for every student. You know, that's for openness. There is always at least one test for every student, K through 12.
Right.
Just testing is a very, very big number. So there's so many things wrong with Common Core. The history, as I say, it came about through stealth. There was really, the credit belongs to the Governors Association, and they were backed up. There was Jeb Bush as the prime motivating source behind it. And the money behind it is Bill Gates. But put Jeb Bush influence and Bill Gates money, you've got something very powerful.
But and tell people more about the Governors Association. I mean, these people are not even educators.
Absolutely correct.
Right.
Nor are they necessarily elected officials, that they represent people who once were elected officials. The Governors Association, for example, is led primarily by Jeb Bush, who has not been a governor of any state in quite some time, Floridians will remember. And that's where the rules are coming from, this very nebulous thing that we can't really put our fingers on what it is.
So it's almost like another NGO, another non-governmental organization.
Absolutely, positively, yes.
Taking power away from those that are elected officials and putting it directly into the hands of people who are not elected.
Yes, that too. And it's because there is at some levels the belief that the higher level knows better what they're doing. I do not hold to that belief. That because it comes from Arnie Duncan does not mean it's right. In fact, from my point of view, it might mean just the reverse.
And that should apply also, if I could interrupt for a moment,
sure.
To Jed Bush. Because
sure.
2006, Jed Bush was speaking on regionalism for the state of Florida. Now, regionalism is communism, and this is the same man that is pushing regionalism, is on board pushing Common Core for our schools. I have a real
yes.
problem with that.
And you should have. I suspect these things might, in fact, be related. The Bush family have always been for larger and world government. So
global,
world,
yeah.
Yeah.
World government, they called it race to the top or running away from whatever you want to call it. The Bush family has incorporated belief in higher public education.
Now, Dick, who are you running against in Sarasota County? Who's going to be your opponent?
Shirley Brown.
Shirley?
Downtown Shirley Brown, yes. I met Shirley once or twice. We don't really know each other, but we had a brief business relationship. There was at one time in the past where she, in fact, was... a customer of mine. She was a good customer, and I was a good supplier, as far as I remember it. I must have been a good supplier, but I did help to get elected, and she did get elected.
Now you're regretting that move, aren't you?
I should have had more standards.
Well, you probably, yeah. You know, she might have been the best candidate at the time. You know, you never know.
Well, I was not in active in politics at the time, and I was taking, I was in the direct mail business, and I would mail for whoever brought me mail from the print shop. That very often, by the way, I didn't even know my the people I mailed for. They came to me, for example, through the printer, that we had a printer in common that brought people like candidates to me. So that's... That's a little bit of history, and I think it ties in.
So how is your candidacy going now? How's your campaign going? Are you getting out there a lot or getting a lot of local?
Not as much. In fact, I've got a couple of good loyals and true, and we talk about it, and most times we are holding each other back, that the feeling is going to each Republican or neighborhood group meeting in January is not going to mean that much come November.
Correct.
So the feeling is hold back until at least March to start doing the public meetings.
Okay.
So at which time, of course, we do have a whole list of places that we've been holding back on going to see. South County Republican Club is one example.
Right. And so how is their view on Common Core? Are they supporting Common Core? Are they in opposition to it or what?
As far as I know, every Republican club is in opposition to Common Core. I know the Sarasota Club is, as is the Sarasota Executive Committee of the Republican Party. So there are party groups, there are clubs, and as far as I know, in this area, all Republican groups are against Common Core.
Now, Dick, I think the last time we spoke, we were talking about the people that are currently in office, that a lot of them, once they ran for the campaign, they didn't really understand the job of school board. And once they got into the position, they realized that, gee, I really don't have any authority at all. I'm basically a pencil pusher, and I'm to implement the laws and to make sure that they're being withheld, or upheld, rather. So you were saying something kind of unique.
I don't happen to agree with that.
See, that's I wanted to hear from you.
Right. I wanted to hear from this person who's in that seat saying, I have something to say. I will be heard. Whether you agree with me or you have passed your rules from the Capitol or wherever the Department of Education has their secret meetings, you don't have to count on me following. So I will not be one who follows along that trail. And that's,
what would you see in that position? What do you see as what are your duties going to be? What do you think you're going to be doing a little bit differently that our current school board is not doing?
Almost everything.
Okay.
When you attend meetings, I think there must be private workshops where these things get discussed, because whenever the public is involved, everything is unanimous. And come on, it can't all be unanimous every time, fellas. You know, so everything is just slam, bam, motion, second, approved, favor, all of them. So what they should be doing, I think perhaps taking more of a look at the content of education than they are looking at. They are looking at things suitably, I suspect, as at real estate possessions, because I'm recently hearing about the school board wants to buy property, even though they hold property.
Correct.
So I'm not quite sure what that's all about, but that's not what they should be doing. They should be looking at the content of education in the classrooms.
And how much authority does the school board have? I know that we have a school in Northport that there's an odor in the school, and children have been getting sick, and teachers have been getting sick, but yet the school...
Oh, by the way, they're now claiming that went away.
Oh!
New smell.
Okay, like waiting for the school
board. All day, all day, all smell.
Wow.
Right.
So how many members of the school board would it take for them to come together and say, you know what, we've got a real problem in Northport. We've got a stinky school, and people are getting sick. Shouldn't we close it down? Wouldn't they have the authority to do that and check it out and get whatever's wrong with that school cleaned up?
By the way, you said how many would it take? And
yes,
I gave the answer of three. Because the school board, there are five members, so three is a majority. What's important on that point is that we have an election coming up in November, and the election will be for three seats. So right now I'm the only one who has filed, but there are two other seats where there are available challenges to the existing school board. And, for example, it could happen on a single day next November that the entire school board majority could change literally overnight.
And wouldn't that be a blessing?
Right.
Yes.
That the 3 out of 5 is next December a new 3.
Right, and that the 3 are like-minded and can agree on things, like if you've got a stinky school, let's
close. If they can agree on things,
they're calling
themselves, they can call themselves the new 3.
Yes, or the 3 Musketeers, whatever.
Right, yeah, the new 3 running together. And, yeah, taking a positive stand on things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So
I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
In your Sarasota schools, how active is the PTA there?
I think that would change.
I think they're very active, and I think they should be.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know the elementary schools are fairly active in my specific area. The elementary schools are pretty active. As far as high school goes, I know in Charlotte County, their high school, they're very active. But
sure.
In Northport, at Northport High, I don't believe so.
Okay,
I think that's very important.
That's very important.
Huh. When I was in school, now this is going back a long time, of course, but I had the opportunity of having some of the best teachers, I believe, that could ever been had in a school and a principal. And our principal made sure that all of our classes, all the teachers, got a card.
Dick's asking, where did you go to school?
In New York.
Okay.
In Buffalo, New York. But our principal made sure that every school class teacher received enough cards for every student to take home to their parents. And at this time, it was just a couple of dollars to join the PTA, and that they attend these coming to school where they would go to our classrooms, see where our desk was. We would have pamphlets on our desk showing the kind of material, the materials, how they were graded, how we were doing, and our teacher would speak to every parent. And if your parent didn't come to these meetings, they got a note. Because parent participation, it's critical.
You know, though, and Dick, I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but I've noticed a trend over the years. My son is now 30, and I was a very active parent all throughout his entire school career. And I noticed a trend back then that they gave a lot of lip service. They said they wanted parents active. They wanted schools to teach parents involved. But yet when you were an involved parent, you saw a very different picture. They didn't want you to know too much about what was going on.
Right.
And I see that trend just going all across the board, that they want parents involved up to a point, and then they want you to know a whole lot else about what's going on in the classroom.
I went to the Catholic schools in New York City, and there it was very different. They did occasionally have a parent meeting, but it was for the purpose of the parent being told. The parent did not participate in education in Catholic schools. They just got a report once in a while. I still remember the high school meeting my father went to, and the principal had given a very dynamic talk, a good Christian brother that he was, lad, and he talked about, I may not know too many of the boys. I only know the bad ones.
You were one of the bad ones.
Well, that's my father introduced himself. He said, Richard Pate, I know your son. I had to explain. I used to talk to the principal a lot. You know, we were like buddies, you know. I know your son. That really happened to me.
Now, Dick, once you're elected to school board, are you going to be one of those school board members that does pop-in surprises on schools and sits in on classes and audits them and, you know, just
probably,
my audit?
Probably.
I
honestly plan on working hard, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be able to vote based upon knowledge of what I'm doing and what I'm voting on.
Right.
And to be a knowledgeable voter, you really have to work at it.
That's right.
On any job, at any level, you know, whether you are the consumer voting for school board or whether you are a person on the school board voting.
Well, let me ask you another.
Votes should be
now that I've got you and I know you're a candidate, so I can stick it to you. Let me ask another question. I have often wondered, you know, if schools put on assemblies anymore. And then I was thinking, wouldn't it be unique if you know, as a school board member or whatever, because I would think you'd have a certain amount of influence with that position, if you could get someone like a Chris Ann Hall to come in to assembly.
Oh, by the way, Sherry, I remember taking the course that Chris Ann Hall put on.
I did,
and
too.
I
you were
I was
there.
Sitting right in front
there.
Of you.
Yes.
You were at the same meeting. In fact, as I recall, you were sitting right behind me.
That's right. So, yeah, so I was thinking, wouldn't that be a fun thing to do in Sarasota schools?
Absolutely. It might shock a few people. Maybe that's what's so good about it.
Well, that would be the fun thing to do because,
yeah,
you know, our
indeed.
Kids, you know, Chris Ann's such a great teacher. And when she gets up and speaks, she makes history come alive. She makes the Constitution come alive. And you just feel so excited. And so...
I know. I was sitting there in the beginning, and I didn't have a pencil. I said, what do I need to take notes for?
Oh,
and
my
all
God.
All of a sudden, I'm getting all up there. I don't have a pencil. I don't have a pencil.
I know. And wouldn't that be great to see the kids responding that way?
Right.
And then it's just David Barton has a whole series of DVDs. Why couldn't they play those in an assembly? Because he does a wonderful thing on the Constitution.
Mm.
Yeah, so there's lots of things to think about that you're
too,
in office
story.
That you'll have an opportunity to explore and introduce to the county. And, wow, wouldn't that be neat?
Mm-hmm. I know an awful lot of people in Sarasota County would love more involvement with the Constitution everywhere, not
right,
just in our schools.
It's so crucial because our children truly have been denied. I mean, I really feel like this poor generation that's coming up, they really don't understand the roots of our nation. And without that, if you don't have deep roots, when a wind blows, you fall over very, very quickly. But if you've got some really deep roots, then you're not going to fall for everything. You're going to have something really sturdy to stand on. And it would be great to have a generation of young people coming up and understanding that.
Yes. And whether it's Chris Ann Hall, or we can find other cases where people are teaching things that our students should learn in assembly, if not otherwise.
Right.
Let me make a suggestion here. Let me jump in again, Dick and
sure.
Sherry. Black History Month.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very unfortunately, none of our schools throughout the nation teach true black history.
I know.
Of
I
all the senators that were
on
slaves.
Right.
You know, they couldn't read, they couldn't write, and they did some of the best pieces while they were serving in office that has been written to today.
Right.
And they don't know about this. So how can these children take pride in their country, not knowing that they had founders also that developed this country?
Yeah, amazing people that are part of
mm-hmm.
our nation that have never, the stories have never been told. And
right.
that would be a great assembly, too. And not only that, but there's a nice book about it. In fact, as I'm speaking to you, I'm trying to find my book, and because I've got it in my bookcase here someplace. And I think David Barton published it, didn't he? And it was about American black Americans in government and
mm-hmm.
The positions that they held. I'll keep talking, you guys. I'll find it. I'm sitting here looking through my books now.
No, there are. I mean, there. I think, now don't quote me on this, but there was, I believe, 20-some senators and representatives that were black slaves. And think how incredible that was, because they weren't allowed to read. They weren't allowed to write. But
mm-hmm.
yet they more or less
learned.
Taught themselves and learned,
and right.
went on to Washington. I mean, this is remarkable.
No, absolutely.
True leaders always are.
Here it is. It's the American history in black and white. And it is. It's Setting the Record Straight by David Barton. And so it does give a synopsis of all the famous black men that we never talk about and what they did. Jefferson Long, John Rock, John Lynch, Frederick Douglass, and there's a Frederick Douglass group. So, I mean, yeah, those are all the things that this generation knows nothing about. There's no real pride, and it would be nice for them to know this and be taught about the background.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it's important. It's very important.
First black denomination. The other was the first African American to deliver a sermon in Congress. The other was the first U.S. black senator. And these were, you know, this was way back in our history.
Sure. Back before we were having Democrats from Manhattan, who really were not exactly what the blacks should have had as leaders.
Right. Exactly. So now there's a lot of work ahead of you, Dick, once you get elected. Now, how can we help you out with your candidacy and with your election? Is there anything that we can do to help you get into office?
Yeah, you can be in touch with probably through you there are some phone numbers of people, Helen Wolfs, Eileen Green.
Oh, yeah.
These are people that that you and I both know, Sherry. They're very active in trying to promote my candidacy.
Okay,
in fact,
great.
Eileen Green personally is doing scheduling. She is personally going to put my face in front of maybe even some groups that want to see me.
Okay, great.
In addition to all of those who don't want to see me, they're going to see me anyway.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you're running for this election, Dick, does that mean the whole county is going
absolutely.
To
absolutely. That's an important thing. Because, I did some really nice name tags lately, by the way, for people like me and supporters to wear at meetings. And I do say on the tag, school board, District 4. And I kind of wish I had not done that. In fact, I wish I hadn't put that on a letterhead either. Because many people are starting to make the presumption, well, they can
you're
vote
not, I'm not
only,
in that district, so I don't need to know you.
Right.
Right.
I'm not in District 4. It's okay. It's okay. You can still vote for me. Come back. Come back.
Well, just preface every meeting with that and say, look, guys, my name's going to be on that ballot. You fill me in for that. I don't care what district you're in. It's district-wide.
Yeah, it's county-wide.
That's what I mean, county-wide, sorry.
Yes.
So we've got that out tonight. So you know Dick Page is running for office. So when you see Page...
There.
School board.
And you can support him, and you can invite him to meetings.
Yes, that
and
would
will
be nice.
Show up.
Now, are you going to all the women's clubs?
Absolutely.
And charming the socks off the ladies?
I don't know how good I am at that, but I would make that effort.
And are you hitting up all the churches? Are you making the rounds of the churches?
We have not yet begun, but that is certainly some place where I think any candidate for anything. Church people really are voting people. The people that take their citizenship very seriously.
Yes.
Right.
So if you can get people who go to churches to support you, you've got a good chance of getting those who actually vote.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're basically good stewards.
Indeed.
And which is what voting is all about. Now, mm-hmm. getting back to Common Core, and because they're saying it's coming from the legislature, the last time we had a conversation...
It doesn't really come from the legislature. Everyone thinks it does because they don't really know. It just, they woke up one morning and Common Core was part of their life.
Yeah, rammed down their throats.
Yeah, but we don't know where it came from. It just all of a sudden it was there. It was certainly never approved by people. Nobody has ever voted for it. Nobody, I don't think, ever would vote for it. And that's true in legislatures as well as in the general public.
Right.
It just shows up. There are, in fact, one of the, they have things like math standards. And no mathematician has ever approved the math standards. And one of the ones, a mathematician who made that comment is, I'm not approving of this, says, I will not touch upon here the secretive and insular process used to write the Common Core standards with minimal public input. And there we're getting at something. Common Core, minimal public input.
Absolutely.
The public would not have supported Common Core if they knew what it was, and they were not invited to participate anyway.
And they're not even considering the teachers that are so opposed to this and the teachers that are afraid to speak up. I went to a meeting in Charlotte County where they had a Common Core advocate, one of the high mucky mucks, come in to talk to all the board and some teachers. So I sat in there for half a day listening to her, and there were teachers sitting behind me, and I could hear their comments. And I turned around, looked at them, and I said, why aren't you standing up and saying something? They said, no, we're afraid of our job. I said, but you don't like this. They said, no, we can't stand it.
Exactly. Well, that's like Will Weatherford. Will Weatherford is going throughout the state of Florida pushing Common Core. And Will Weatherford, of all people, he is a graduate from the Aspen Institute. And a friend of mine in Tampa is a school teacher. She had to go to one of these Common Core meetings for a couple of days. Every piece of literature that she received pertaining to Common Core, at the bottom of it, it was printed by the Aspen Institute.
What does that tell you? A little brainwashing going on.
Yep.
Not a good thing.
Nope. We're talking communism here.
Big time.
Yes. Coming out of the Aspen Institute, you better believe it.
Well, and it's just the fact that we started a conversation before we went on the air. We were talking about, oh, no, actually, it was Sally's rant, so it was on the air, talking about what's going on with religion in the government, and then kind of the same thing that's being taught with Common Core in the textbooks, that the Muslim religion seems to be getting a lot more attention in the schools than the Christian religion. The Christian religion is referred to as myth in some of the school books. I mean, that should be a big concern to parents.
A particular textbook was brought up on exactly the point that you're making, Sherry, that a number of parents really cared about. I believe the title is World History Interactions. Now, the interactions have to do with the wonderful interactions the world has had with the Islam community and the very little involvement the Judeo-Christian people have had with our history.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah, it's really, really a terrible history when related to the historic background of the individual religions and their participation in the community. And there's a lot of this just not quite true statements going around. And that's something that we really need to care more about.
Oh, absolutely. That's crucial.
Definitely. Yes.
Because, you know, let's face facts. If you have those little minds that you're welding all this influence, I mean, this is what's horrible. Basically, you're holding children captive how many hours a day? Through pressure, you know. The teacher has the power of the pen. The teacher has all the power because they have the grade.
Sure.
And that grade is going to measure whether you're successful or you're not, especially with Common Core, with all the tracking that they're doing and all the data mining. It's such an invasion. And to think that this is going to follow you throughout your school career, it's frightening.
Oh, definitely. That's another thing I'd like to ask you guys. If your school board is aware of the fact that the week of September 17th is Constitutional Week, and it is a federal law that they teach the Constitution, and if they need any material on these constitutional booklets, they do give an address to contact for any material that's needed in these teachings. But all the institutes that are teaching, learning institutions are supposed to do this, that receive federal funds. Now, that's a big statement right there.
You betcha. And that's January 17th is Constitution Day?
A
September,
week.
September.
It's a whole week.
Yeah. The week
if
is
you
September
have a constitutional 17th. Booklet, one of the long, thin ones, the very last page, it gives you all the information. It tells you the article and the section of the law and who to contact for material. And it does state that any teaching institution, that's our schools, our universities, it could be veterans, different departments, or a number of things, as long as they receive federal funds, they are to do this.
Well, that would be a great
so
thing.
So if they don't want their funds cut off, I would suggest they start doing it, or more schools need to start complaining about it.
Oh, absolutely. And too bad it's so early in the school year, September 17th. You know,
it has
nice.
To be prepared for at the end of the school previous school year, that's all.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So that gives them time to get the program underway.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
But check that out on the last page of, you know which booklet I'm talking about. It's the long, thinner, one-pocket Constitution.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the last page on there, Dick. Please check
yes.
that out because I went after my supervisor about it, and now he won't even take my phone calls anymore.
Holy
oh,
God.
What a little coward.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, don't be a coward.
He had a mechanic return
my
call.
Now. Okay, I'm looking at my Constitution right now to see if it's in there. Just happen to have it. Carry it with me everywhere. And
yeah.
Let's look. Okay, this
should
one
the...
is from, I'm trying to see who it's from. I've got one that's leather and one that's paper. I've got my paper one.
And if you don't have the right one, I can send you a few. I
yeah,
have no
I'll
problem.
Let me, you guys keep talking while I look at mine.
I'll tell you about the one that I have in my hand, which
I
find a little chuckle. The Constitution that I have in my hand is printed and produced by the ACLU.
Wow.
Which I say I find that a little chuckle because
yeah.
I almost always disagree with their positions.
Okay,
right,
so
I
I've
do too.
Got it. Yeah. I've got it exactly. Celebrating the Constitution to commemorate the September 17th, 1787, signing the Constitution of the United States, Congress has designated September 17th of each year as Constitution Day, and September 17th to 23rd of each year as Constitution Week. And then
mm-hmm.
it gives you Law 108-447, Section 111. Cool. Dick, I'll type this up and send it over to you, okay?
Excellent, excellent.
All righty. So you'll have
yeah, because how many school boards even know this? How many superintendents know it? None of mine did.
Oh, we already have one new school board member right here, Dick Page, who knows it.
Yep.
Right.
Now he's going to have to let the other guys know.
Okay, you've already made an advantage on the new board.
That's right. We're giving you some signposts here.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, Dick, the theme that you mentioned last time that I was intrigued with was that you were talking about, you know, the authority and all of that in the school board and to change it, and you said you would be willing to go to Tallahassee.
Absolutely.
And just camp out in their hallways. Well, I kind of love that idea.
In fact, I think it's very important that at the local level, I hear too many people saying, including Sarasota, by the way,
right.
There's nothing we can do. It's here. It's everywhere.
Oh, I
it's
get that
all
thing.
Over me. I would not say that. I would stand up and shout, no, it's not here. I'm stopping it.
Right.
Now, maybe by myself I couldn't, but I certainly would make the effort.
Yeah, I tell you what, I would dig out a sleeping bag for you and pack
okay.
overnight cookies and stuff and let you camp out in the hallways.
Okay.
Well, you know,
say, hey,
stop
there's
and
a
think,
nut there
Sally.
In the hallway. You might want to talk to him.
But stop
please,
and
sir.
Think, you guys. The British had said that when they landed here, too. We're here to stay.
That's right. That's exactly right. Oh, that's funny. Well,
you take
your
cookies,
fella,
and put them with your tea.
Oops. Is that you or is that Neil?
What?
I'm talking about the same place where you put your tea during the party.
Oh.
Put your cookies with the tea.
Yeah.
In the harbor.
Yep.
There you go.
Absolutely. Now, what else did you want to try to achieve once you're in? And how long are you in, Dick? I mean, it's like a four-year term or what?
Yes, it is a four-year term.
Okay.
It rotates, but just by the pure strange coincidence of life, this 1 year, 3 out of 5 come up for election. That should not normally be, but it is. And that's why I say we three, can be an overnight new board.
Yeah, yeah. That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. See, I made the statement earlier. Maybe it wouldn't do me any good to say, no, I'm against it. But I will. I will try. But if I am one of three, there's more than me saying I will try. There are three saying we will do.
That's right.
We will get it done.
That's exactly right. And wouldn't that be a much better feeling than being the only voice of sanity,
exactly,
you know, on the board,
exactly,
the only voice of reason? Be nice if you had a couple other voices up there that said the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody else would take some sugar with their coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, one other thing I'd like to mention to Dick,
okay,
if he hasn't heard, supposedly from what I've been reading and what I've seen online, that Governor Scott, of course, really wants to get reelected. He'll do anything at this point. But anyway, he's going to bring back cursive
positions
writing.
Positions on Common Core. Get your positions on Common Core over here,
yep,
please.
He wants to bring
for
back
Common
cursive
Core
writing.
This way. Against Common Core right over here. Rick Scott is jumping on whatever line seems popular for the hour.
Oh,
right.
Yes. But cursive writing, Dick, as you know, it's so important because I know a 16-year-old personally that cannot read or write cursive writing.
Which means things like the preamble to our Constitution.
Yes.
We
and
the people.
Even think of family
we
documents.
People. Yes.
I mean, that you would want to pass on through your family.
Right.
The coming generation, they're going to end up trashing them because they can't read them. They don't know what it is.
Wow.
What do you do when you have to sign for a notary public for a deed or property, for a mortgage? What about your driver's license? I mean, I don't know what these people are thinking, except they are dumbing down and trying to make everyone as dumb as they can and erase history at the same time.
That phrase is used a lot for Common Core, by the way, the
yeah,
dumbing down of our schools.
Yes.
Because it started with the word standards, and
right,
that seems like it means something important until you find out that they're rather low standards. Yes, those are our standards now, but they're not very high. And that's part of the central part of the problem is that Common Core is introducing new standards, and they are low standards.
Right.
And
well, you do
lying.
Know that this... Oops,
yeah, go
sorry.
Ahead. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
The state of Florida, a number of years ago, even though they say that we have such a high standard and we come out, I forgot what number it is now recently, as far as how well the education is here. But at the same time, they lowered the grade to 60. How do you consider that's a high standard when you're lowering the grade from a 75 mark to a 60 and they're still having trouble passing at a 60?
Well, low-high, it depends on what you're comparing it to. You know, if you're
right,
comparing everybody else to 60 and you're 60, well, I guess it does compare. So it's not grade point that counts. It's who and what is being compared to you and who do you want to be compared to. I want to be compared with the best and the brightest.
Right.
Not with the lowest mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be an uphill climb, you know?
Yes.
But thank goodness there's people like you out there that are willing to take it on.
And
take
as
on
you well know, Sherry, I do not climb alone. That, sounds kind of nice. I don't find a woman. And I'll say that the next time I'm proposing to a woman. I have been married 3 times. And I don't want to climb alone. So, anyway, that's why I keep raising intermarriages, I guess. I shouldn't say raising in. The current one is 18 years old.
Oh, that's good.
Not only that, this woman that I married 18 years ago, I first met her 45 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we went through a section of 27 years where we didn't even see each other. But it turned out I became widowed, and I remembered the phone number of this very attractive woman in Pennsylvania, by the way. I know because she gave me her phone number in 1968.
Wow.
So I called in 1995.
She made a
and
big impression
out that
on
number,
you.
And she answered the call and said, hello.
That is so neat, yeah.
Yeah, so I said, I'm widowed. And she said, I'm also widowed. And I said, I'm calling my travel agent right now.
Oh, my goodness. You didn't waste any time.
Oh, yeah, oh, yes. 1 week. 1 week after phone call on flight from Sarasota to Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Woo!
Exactly. Yes.
Well, that says a lot for you then. That means that when you go for something, you get it.
Yes, in fact, the arrangement we had is that the following weekend, she had come down to Florida, and I was sending her the tickets to do so, which I did. And when they arrived at her household, all her family members would look at me, ooh, it's first class all the way.
Nice.
She must really like you. And she said, oh, I hope so.
So after that, how long did it take?
And yes, he did really like her.
Okay, I have a good question for the two of you since I'm not in the area of Sarasota. But does your schools have libraries in the school?
Yes.
This would be a good thing to add editions of certain books on Black History Month especially.
Uh-huh.
That one is a real sore spot in for me because they are depriving the Black children from being able to have so much pride in their country.
Exactly.
And their race. Because if you've
got
pride and something, you're coming from good roots, you're going to continue on with that.
Right.
You mean, I suspect, your good Republican roots.
Right.
Well, yeah, most of them were.
The African-Americans were originally Republicans.
That's right.
But there's so many good books
that
should be in the schools. That is my opinion, you know. But.
Oh, yeah, all of that. You know, it'll be refreshing to have someone that has Dick's energy and interest level to come in with almost new eyes. So when you have a new set of eyes looking
new
at things,
right,
it's a whole different, it takes on a whole different complexion and a whole different focus of interest. So that'll
be. And for everyone who says there's nothing we can do, there'll be one who says, oh, yes, there is.
That's right. That's
yes, there is.
I mean, I look at it this way, too. I don't know about the schools there, like I said, but I know a lot of schools, they lean totally towards a liberal lie type thing pertaining to different subjects like climate change, different things where there should be textbooks in schools.
Popular, yeah. Let's use the word popular. Yeah, climate change is a popular thing. Okay.
Right. I mean, if it's going to rain, it's because of climate change. You know that.
No, I thought it was the snow, but whatever. I think it's both. It's the rain and the snow.
Yeah, well, they're getting desperate now, Dick. That's why I used rain.
It is the snow.
Okay, Dick,
snow.
You can check your email and hit refresh, and you'll have celebrating the Constitution in your email. I went ahead and typed it up and sent it over to you.
Excellent, excellent.
Okay.
I just have to hit refresh to really find it.
Okay. Yeah, and we only have about 10 more minutes to wrap up. Dick, is there anything you want to, you know, to discuss in the last 10 minutes here that to focus on?
No, not really. I think you're doing very wonderfully with the issues of what's going on in school, what things we should care about, and the fact that you are communicating the fact that I care about the things we should care about. And that's what I try and get across in my campaign, is that there are things going on in school that are important, and they're important to me, and that we all have to work together to make sure that the things that are not good leave our schools and the things that are good stay with our schools. And that's my vote. I'm with the good things staying and the bad things going. And Common Core, to me, is among the long list of things not good in our schools.
So a good tagline would be, let's replace Common Core with common sense.
Here, here. I've just written that down.
Okay, thank you. You can do it. That's mine.
Credit.
Oh, just send me
right.
Some money, okay, Dick?
Yeah.
You too. Come on.
Yeah, that would be the phrase that I would grab, and I would use that because
okay.
It's a nice tagline and it says it all. And you're not being nasty or anything; it's just the truth.
Yeah.
And we, unfortunately, in today's world, common sense is highly uncommon. And wouldn't it be great to restore common sense to our kids, to have them thinking along those lines? You know, would you run outside without an umbrella? You know, would you do this? Have them thinking in terms of just good old common sense, because that'll get you a heck of a lot farther in life than just about anything else.
Actually, you sound more like a wife than a husband.
Oh.
Husbands do run out without umbrellas. Wives always have umbrellas, yeah, I know. I do hear about this, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But
take an umbrella, Dick. Yes, honey, I'll take the umbrella.
So she's constantly telling you, God bless you.
Right.
She's behind you, you know, saying, grab your keys, wear your glasses, do you have your driver's license, where's your wallet, that kind of thing. Oh, that's why you had to get married so quickly.
Right.
You couldn't find your wallet without a woman.
Well, just don't forget your Constitution book. You make sure you got that with you.
Absolutely. And it will continue to travel with me.
Good.
Very good. Very good.
So
well, I wish you all the luck in the world, Dick.
Thank you.
I'd be very, very proud to have my children go to a school knowing that you were sitting on the board.
Oh, I'm
I'd feel
happy,
more secure, safe. I'd feel like they were getting a true, true American education.
Okay.
Right.
Because
that
the meetings I've been at, I know that Sherry has the same opinion, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want somebody that's looking out for the child's best interest, because that child is going to be our future leader. And as we're all aging, you know, we want our future leaders to be able to handle things and handle them well, extremely well. And we're really headed in some rough, rough waters, and we really need to get our kids prepared.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm ready to say goodnight. If you are girls are ready to say goodnight.
Okay,
say goodnight,
well,
Dick.
Thank you so
all
much
right,
for
thank
the song,
you so
Dick.
Much,
we really
Dick.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, Joey.
Good night.
Good night, Sally. Good night.
Neil.
I think he's a
great
candidate. This man does understand the issues. He knows that our schools are in big, big trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all about big corporation, big money, and there is no oversight on anything, and they really do not have our children's best interest, their education at heart.
Right.
And eventually, if we can't get this changed, America is going to pay a phenomenal price.
It is. We're heading to very, very troubled waters very quickly. And we need our young people prepared and to be able to shoulder the burden that, you know, basically this government has given them.
Oh, definitely. I mean,
yeah.
You know, there's no question about it. But we have the wrong people in this business. They're money people. They're the elites. They are also into so much other corruption.
Well,
we don't need these kind of people involved in our schools.
No, and they're taking the joy out of schools. They really are. They're taking the creativity out. They're teaching them to be bureaucrats, and that's about it. You know, kids need to be set free in some regards. You know, let their minds explore. Don't keep. I mean, I look at these schools, and when you drive by them, you feel like you're seeing little tiny prisons. They all have these chain link fences. There's nothing, you know, there's no creativity. You walk in the halls, and, you know, it seems like every aspect of their lives is so restricted.
It's really, really sad, very sad.
Yeah, it really is.
But I would definitely recommend to anyone that's listening out there, whether it's a Sarasota school or where it's at, to look up this federal law where they are supposed to teach the Constitution and supply material if needed, and we need to hold our principals, our teachers, our superintendents, and our school boards feet to the ground on this. It is just
too
important.
Well, and what's interesting about that part that you're talking about, Neil, the last paragraph says, we encourage all citizens to use their influence to organize and support programs that honor the Constitution.
That's right.
This is something that everybody needs to get behind, and I think you
right.
said
it's
that.
It's a federal law. You've got the federal
right.
government behind you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would be a nice little thing. That's a nice law to actually flex the muscle. We have several good laws out there that we haven't used, and the muscles just atrophy, and people don't even realize the power that they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
that's why more people need to get in tune with the Constitution.
Absolutely. There's some fascinating information in the Constitution, and it gives you a real feeling of empowerment when you do read it.
Well, the thing, you know what, Sal, they forget, Sherry, is the Constitution was written for the people.
That's right.
It's for your best benefit.
That's right.
Yes.
It's always to the people's benefit, not the government's benefit, the people's benefit. Yeah.
And people need to start thinking more that way.
Right. Are you there, Neil?
Yes, I am.
Okay, it sounded like you were fading out.
No, I'm trying to keep my birds quiet. I kept to keep...
I kept hearing that, and I came close
to
saying something.
You need
to
put food
in
their
the
faces. Hey, here's some food.
I'm going to throw some apple at them, the whole apple.
I know, I've got three cats, and I'm always afraid they're going to go, ring. So I always feed them right before. So they're so busy, and their little veins are full, so they can't make noise.
Well, anyway, I was very happy that Dick came back on, and I know I'm way up north here, but if there's anything I could ever do, or if I run across anything or find out some information, I'll make sure you get it, Sherry, so that you can pass it on.
I definitely will. I definitely will. And I've known Dick for a couple of years. Like you said, we saw each other at Constitution classes. I've gone to a couple of them, not just Chris Ann's Constitution classes, but others as well, because it's nice to hear different perspectives and different focuses from different groups. And that's
mm-hmm.
another thing to think about with our kids in schools also, that there's a lot of information out there that's not expensive, that wouldn't cost the counties anything to implement, that are
free.
Yeah. That
exactly.
That we really overlook and not really taken advantage of them.
Are you aware at all, Sherry, how your superintendent or your school board feel about Common Core? Have you ever heard
they
anything?
They are all on board.
They are?
Yeah. And they're basically like Charlotte County. They Charlotte County, I did a one-on-one with each one of them, and they all said basically there was nothing they could do. Their hands, they were handcuffed. That was their response to me. And like Dick said, he's not buying it.
No.
You know, so you need somebody. Yeah.
No, and I've heard that from teachers that have been teaching for 20-some years.
Right.
They said that once this is in the play, you can't do anything. I have news for you. There's a two-letter word, and it's called no.
That's right. We can do anything we want. And I remember when I was a kid going through school, my dad was in the military, so we moved around a great deal. It did not hurt me going from one school to another. That
no.
was not national standards. It was
no.
It was actually kind of neat in a way to see different schools and how they, you know, what they were teaching in different areas of the country.
Right.
Yeah, so
exactly.
It did not hurt one bit to go from second grade in Louisiana to second grade in Georgia. And, you know, it didn't hurt. And I don't understand where they're coming from.
No, and I've heard statements of that, too, as far as kids switching schools. Well, please tell me, how many millions switch schools, okay?
Right, right.
I don't think so.
Especially in today's
no.
society. As fluid as it is with people, you know, in sales and major corporations, they're having to move all the time. No, that's crazy. Okay, ladies, it is 1 minute past eight.
Okay, and I thank you so much, and thank everybody for listening. And
you
get out and vote for Dick Page.
Yeah, and thank you, Sally. Thank you, Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you guys
Sally,
don't need to...
I appreciate it.
Okay, so you're having a short show tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. All right. Okay. Thank you, Sally. God bless everybody.
Okay. God bless.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
We're going to play just a little bit of music here before we hang up, before we disconnect.
today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American. Well, at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave their fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
America, my home. in the grip of oppression. I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames, and I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my dream. Not taken from others, others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for. I respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds.
On that note, we will wrap it up for tonight. A little bit of an early night this week. But please, people, please be involved. Be Americans. Forget all the other nonsense. Forget about the parties. Forget about all of that. Be Americans, because that's what it truly is all about. United we will stand. Divided we will fall. And please let this be the year that you seek the truth and face the truth. And then we can save America. It's up to we the people to save our country and take it back. And on that note, may God bless and protect the USA. Good night, everyone.